Dear friends and dear brethren, welcome to Radio Blast. God bless you all. Nice to be here again with you. Well, Brother Joseph, how are you?
Fine. Praise the Lord.
Ready to answer many questions?
No, but the Lord is.
Good. Because we want to hear the Lord's answers. That's good.
Amen.
I would like to start by asking prayer from our dear listeners. We have a team of missionaries which are right now in an area which has been going through a tragedy. We have been praying for these people that have been victims of this fire. A few days ago started a big fire on the coast in Chile, and 2,000 houses were burned. Lots of people lost everything they had. There were some people who died. There were lots of victims suffering. And now many schools in that area became dormitories. They closed down the schools, and thousands of people are sleeping there on the floor. But we heard news how much they are under shock. Of course, they take care of the children with activities, but the parents, the adults, are totally under shock. So right now it happens that we are in this area, close to that area. We're not exactly there, but we are close to them because we, as you know, dear brethren, we often evangelize in Chile. We sometimes go in Argentina, in Peru. These are our three main countries where we work in South America. So it happened that being here, our five missionaries went there to bring some materials, some help. We did food collection in supermarkets, and we sent the boxes over to them. And also they are doing evangelization for groups of people, presenting a program which includes theater, how to overcome the temptations of the world, how to be victorious in moments of trial, of problems, and give your life to Jesus completely. And they're praying with them to receive Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit, start a new life, believe that God will raise you up again. This morning we talked on the phone with them, and praise the Lord, they're saying it's wonderful. It's going great. People are very broken, very much in need of the message of Jesus. Please pray for this wonderful project and ministry God gave us. Lord, help us. So I would like to start with the questions, Brother Joseph.
All right. Sweet brethren, writing in.
Yes. Now, the first one is from a brother who says that he's actually Italian, but he lives outside of the country since a long time ago. And he said he has a question for you about your children. He understood from our messages on the radio or on YouTube that your children study at home. And he would like to know the legal part. How does it work, the system, keeping the kids outside of the public schools?
Fine. So, well, it's a blessing. It's absolutely a solution to most of our problems, because the children go to public school, they come back full of bad spirits.
They do.
You know, they receive inputs from their other children, their friends, their peers, and they come back with a head full of video games, this and that.
I want this and I want that.
Yeah, it's If you follow the news a little bit, there is all this regular killing and shooting and after in the school, they just a child, I think was 14 years old, I think it was, in the United States just a few days ago, and because they check nobody can bring guns into the school, this guy brought a couple of knives somehow, he smuggled in, and he used two knives to just butcher people right and left. Four people very seriously wounded. They're still in critical condition. Another 22, they were stabbed in the stomach and stuff like that. I mean, it's like
that's
a hell
terrible.
Of a mess. I mean, it's hellish.
Really,
the schools have become like the door of hell. Basically, they teach them nothing, basically, what they need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I want to make is that they interviewed around, right and left, and then TV and the news. And everybody said, well, this guy was just a normal guy, a normal child. He never did cause any problem. See, these people are normal. It's like, it's the normal thing. You know, they just, they fill their heads and their souls and their hearts full of video games, which video games is not anymore a game, but is a way to indoctrinate, program, teach, provoke, inspire them to kill, to wound, to maim, to hurt. So it's a demonic way to turn the world into demonic realm.
Mm-hmm.
So and the school is not anymore a place where you send the children to learn. It's a place where they program children to become according to the standard of the country where they live, whether it's Germany, Europe,
USA.
You
mean brainwashing?
It's a brainwashing. It's not anymore teaching scholastic academies, because you go to America and they're shocked that the students in India are much more advanced than in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because in India, the Antichrist, the New World Order, is not as advanced. So in India, they're backwards. In other words, they still teach school.
In fact,
in America, they're so advanced, they're teaching them how to become New World Order happy zombie, you understand?
In fact, my family is Hungarian, but I grew up in Romania. And during those days, when I was small, Romania was still a communist country. And I remember so many history classes telling us that we are the best in the world. Our nation is the best, the more developed, the more high class, the more intelligent. We have the best solutions to every problem. And the others, poor things, they are behind.
Yeah, I remember in Peru, standing from the window looking out, just about every week, they have all the children in the street marching with the flags of the country, marching like soldiers, teaching them to become soldiers to defend their country. And so this is not what they're going to do with the school. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So schools today is a way to program the minds of the children to become antichrist, to become worldly before Jesus, before Christianity can get them.
Right. And also, even if it's not a school that they come with guns and with knives, I mean, I remember being in school always comparing myself with the other students and always feeling inferior because they have a better car in their family, they have better clothes, and they are more beautiful. Or there's always something that makes you feel inferior, and then you become shy and you close yourself completely. You close your heart to things around you and to people around you to protect yourself. I remember school harmed me a lot. The environment, which was a normal environment, wasn't anything drastic with killings. But still it hurts, because children can be cruel. They really make fun of you, they put you down. And we did that all the time to each other.
So in conclusion, I counsel homeschooling to just everybody. Of course, in some country like Germany, it's not illegal, but they make it illegal. According to the Constitution, it's not illegal, but they make it illegal.
How do they make it?
Because a lot of people there, they still have the Nazi head. They want people to become good Germans. It's because the system in Germany, it works, like in the flesh, they're some of the most perfect in the world. So except for the German Christian, the rest are really, really have some hangover from the Nazi mentality over there.
What do you mean it's legal, but they make it illegal?
Well, according to the Constitution, it's not illegal.
Okay,
but they make it illegal because they give a hard time.
Ah.
So they find a bunch of excuses. Now they're giving like tens of thousands of euros of fines to the parents who teach the children at school.
At home.
Not at school, but at home,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are to, I think it was a family escaped to the United States, and they asked for asylum because in Germany they were put in jail. But our dear Obama and the Antichrist system of that said, no, you don't have to go back to Germany. So you see, it's like the Antichrist in America, not much different than the Antichrist in Germany. So the way I have six children, I found that some countries, they let me teach my children in the house.
Yes.
So
you have to check the law of the country where you are.
Some countries don't let me. So in fact, I've been changing country just for that reason. That's a reason good enough for me to move from a country to country.
For what reason?
Because they don't let me homeschool the children, like in Germany, they don't let me.
Okay.
I've been in country where instead it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed country. I have changed country for to be able to continue homeschooling my children, which I have, thank God. They never went to public. They never set a foot in public school except to go there, do programs.
To evangelize, which we do often.
Okay, also vaccination. You know, another thing, like they push vaccination. So moving around, you can just get away from that kind of stuff. No vaccinations, okay?
Okay.
So I
want to ask you, what is the...
I recommend it.
That's good. What is the legal part? Like, how do you do that your children at a certain age can prove what grade they are in and that they studied all these years?
The most important thing, you have to keep tracks. You have to give votes.
Like records.
Yeah, every trimester, semester, you have to keep books showing what they are doing. That's what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that you are honestly teaching them. I mean, it doesn't take long for any authority to check your children and see if they know how to, they know the basic. Usually it's common knowledge all over the world, and everybody investigates a little. They all know that homeschooling children are much more advanced.
They are.
They are very, very much
they're
more
mature.
Advanced. And that's why the Antichrist world, there's not much they can say, because their schools, they just... in a lot of cases, they're just a laboratory to produce monsters. Violent people don't respect the parents, were violent. They just bully. When we go to schools, the teacher, they're pulling their hair. They have a bunch of criminals there. They're not all good kids. Some are good, some are bad. In the house, no. In the house, we can take care of them. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Now, I want to add to this, because I've been working with your wife, Brother Joseph, for 12 years now, and I see how she's organizing the homeschooling. She works with this school from North America, a Christian school, that sends all the books. I know it costs a lot, but it's still worth it. So they send the books to your wife, and there are specific teacher keys. Like, she doesn't have to be a great
teacher
with diploma that studied university.
She doesn't have to be a teacher.
Nothing.
Because she has a textbook, she just follows.
This school, they send her everything, the books for the children and the book for the parents.
Teacher's kit, yeah.
And for her, it's very easy to follow and correct the school books. And the same institution sends you the records you have to keep, so you can be always up to date with their studies.
Yeah, also, like, you don't even have to, these books are expensive, but you don't have to get a set for every child. Like, the more child, the cheaper it is, because you can get a set complete and then photocopy everything.
Yeah, while it's still brand new, you photocopy everything.
Yeah, photocopy, and then it just use for the other children. It's the same system.
Yeah,
and then when they grow up, if somebody decides to go to become a whatever, a professional, well, you can just go. You can go to university like anybody else.
Now, what do they get a diploma from after they finish, for example, their high school?
Yeah, this the school, they give you like a end of course thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember some missionary when I was in India came back. They had a child that never went to public school, only private school, and they took him to this public school. They gave him a little test. He was I think was 12 years old. Even our own children, we were in Eastern Europe, they went to just a public school for a test. And they said, fine, they passed every test.
Yes, but I was there.
Homeschooling, the children do homeschooling, they're much more advanced than the children studying the public school. But public school, they just learn video games or fight each other to make competition, who gets the boyfriend or the girlfriend, to bully around even through email and cybernetic, and people committing suicide because of this. It's mm-hmm. terrible. Because you see, the teachers today, when the schools were born, when the schools started originally, they were usually Christian school.
Okay? Yes.
The Christianity started the school system. But then the devil got in, the government got in, the politician got in, and so they started giving money, and the Christian took the bait of taking the money, and eventually the Antichrist, the secular government, they took over, and now they are telling the Christians what to do. The Christians, as usual, they miss the boat. Okay, but the system, the secular system, they don't know where to begin when it comes to schooling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they don't have it, they don't grasp the spiritual. They don't understand that there is a heart and a soul and a spirit. They call it psyche, it's actually the spirit. Okay, but we go straight to the spirit, keep the devil out, keep the world out, keep violence out, keep unpoliteness out, and your child will excel in every field.
So in conclusion, for the legal part, because you have six children who are in different grades,
mm-hmm.
for the legal part, you found a school who was willing to test the children. And at the end, after they passed all the tests, they gave them a legal paper from the school that they are at date with their studies and they are doing very fine. And they're not behind.
Well, it
so
was, yeah, fine. But you don't even have to do that. That is not even necessary. Because when your child reaches 16 years old or 18 years old, and he's on is up to date, mm-hmm. Is online
with the studies, yeah.
with the other children in the public school. In fact, they're usually ahead. Okay, so then it's like nobody can complain. It's just like in the Bible says, seeing the miracles, seeing the man that was healed, they couldn't speak against Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
You understand?
Amen.
I think it was John chapter 9. So listen,
next
Matthew
10,
23, Jesus said, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say unto you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So it's like when they persecute in a country. There are countries that they persecuted. The devil doesn't like you homeschooling, because in the homeschooling that you teach them Jesus.
The truth.
In the public school, the purpose is to de-Christianize them. In fact, the statistic is that when the children go to college, that's where they lose the faith. They start teaching them, your mommy is a chimpanzee, your daddy is a gorilla. They start teaching this kind of lies of the devil. And so they lose faith, a lot of them. So the devil doesn't like you to teach them in the house. So they persecute you, that they make it too hard. You should be willing to just move around, change city, change state, change region, change country, change nation. Amen. Change whatever you need to change and protect your children. Even Jesus himself was doing this. Look, I'll give you some scripture. Matthew 2:13, Matthew 4:12, John 7:1, and John 11:53 and 54. These are some scripture prepared for the purpose to show that Jesus was moving around, hiding, running. Jesus didn't sit down and try to fight City Hall, fight the government, fight the Antichrist, get a lawyer. No, get out. You don't need to spend money for a lawyer. Just buy a vehicle and move or somewhere else. That's what I did.
Amen.
I have a rule. I never buy houses. Okay, that enables me to just move around. I prefer one camper, a caravan, than 10 houses.
Amen.
That gives me freedom.
All right, so the same brother has another question. Actually, he is giving you the names of some books written by people who were exposing the elite and the NWO, the New World Order.
Yeah, I saw the list, yes.
And what is happening behind the scenes in the world.
Yeah.
But these people got killed.
Yeah, for writing the books. Yeah,
what do you think about this?
Well, I think that it's a confirmation, like these people getting killed for publishing these anti-NWO messages against the New World Order.
Like revealing the truth.
Yeah, revealing the truth. This is to be expected. But the thing is that these people got their hands dirty. They made names, specified places, organizations. Well, you're not supposed to do that.
It's like, but why not? They need to show the truth to the world. The world has to know what's happening.
Well, but that's not what Jesus did. It's like if you get your hands dirty, you go down to the level naming like the person, name, surname, organizations, address, or like the guy is going to send a thug and have you killed. See, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't attack Pontius Pilate and the Roman Emperor, and he didn't name the high priest, Caiaphas, those guys, understand?
Yeah.
He just went to the root, the devil. He attacked the devil. He attacked evil. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar. Goodness, give to Caesar. Those guys were anti-Christ, anti-God, crucifying people. Jesus said, give to Caesar. So right now, who is Caesar's? Well, all these New World Orders, all this elite, all these guys in the darkness are running the banks, are running the multinational. Okay, these are the people of the devil running the world, but you don't get your hands dirty making names. They say, like you can preach against the mafia, but when you start saying Mr. So-and-so is the head of the mafia in this city, and the guy is going to have you killed. Now, it's not a matter that you're afraid of being killed, but it's just stupid. Being a soldier, it needs to be willing to die for his country, but he shouldn't go around trying to get shot in the back. Understand? You need to be smart. You don't make names.
It's an interesting way to see it.
Yeah, but it's like...
I always thought we need to be grateful to these people who show us what's going on, because thanks to them we know who's manipulating the world and who's ruling the world, and we find the truth from them.
But
they paid with their lives.
Yeah, they were. All these guys, they wrote all these books against this specific Antichrist, satanic, religious, New World Order organization. They all got killed.
Yeah.
But that's to be expected. I mean, when you're dealing with the mafia, you don't make names. Not even the police does that, rarely. Only when they go arrest them. Otherwise, they go slowly. There are unwritten laws they have to follow. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar. Jesus didn't attack Herod. He didn't attack the power that be. Jesus just went in general, against evil, against selfishness, against the devil. That's okay.
How do you fight against evil then?
Well, it's just like Jesus did. You preach the gospel. You go around saving souls. You don't need to go to China and to Africa and to Nigeria and to the place where the Christians are getting bombed up and killed. You can just evangelize the Muslims, the Chinese, wherever you are. In fact, not only the Muslims, the Chinese, but you can evangelize anyone who's just next to you. You don't need to catch a plane and go in China. It's so hard to get in. Just witness to the Chinese wherever you are. If there are no Chinese, well, witness to European, witness to American, witness to South Americans. Just witness, preach, preach, preach. There were people who were suffering, the pain of hell in China, in South America, when Jesus came. He didn't go there. He evangelized wherever he was. He never traveled more than 200-300 kilometers, Jesus, and he changed the world. Understand? So all these things were getting killed for the glory of pointing the finger to a mafia, to a big New World Order guy, just a bunch of smoke in your eyes, you just get killed. So, I mean, there is a proverb that says either fights and runs away, leaves to fight another day.
Now, I know that I was with you one time when they invited you to preach on the radio. It was an important radio with lots of listeners. And the MC of this radio heard the message you gave against the New World Order and teaching people how to prepare for the end time events. And she looked at you kind of surprised and said, aren't you afraid they're going to kill you?
Exactly. In fact, since then I learned some wisdom, because the radio was afraid to broadcast the message. Mm-hmm. And the Lord showed me that that's not the way to do it. It's like the radio had wisdom. See what happened right now in places like Nigeria, etc., the other places too, the Islamic, they go and throw bombs to the radio, the TV, the newspapers, and everybody's silenced. Nobody can speak anymore. That's another way to win the battle. You see, the way that the Christians overcame the Roman Empire and conquered the world in the first 3 centuries, it was not by pointing the finger to the New World Order or to the Roman Emperor or to the big shot of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
They were just silent on that. They were loving them. In fact, Paul said in the New Testament, you should pray for the rulers. Peter said to pray for the rulers.
Even if they're Antichrist?
Even if they were crucifying the Christians those days. He said, pray for them.
Oh.
You understand? We should pray for these mafia people. We should pray for these demon-possessed New World Order leaders.
How do you pray for them?
You know, you should pray for Obama. Obama is definitely an Antichrist and a puppet of the New World Order. Pray for him. Because the next one after Obama is going to be worse. I can just tell you right now.
But if somebody,
the next president after Obama will be worse than this one. You were complaining about Bush, Obama is worse than Bush. You complain about Obama, the next will get worse and worse. Why? Because the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. You understand?
Yeah. How do you pray for somebody that maybe gave his heart to the devil?
Well, I pray that he get converted if it's possible.
Wow. All right.
Look, in 2 Corinthians 10, can you read it?
Yes.
There's a couple of scriptures there. Verse 3 and 4.
2 Corinthians 10.
See, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against your people. I know there is a big push in America about everybody should get a gun, should get a weapon. What are you going to do? Well, that's crazy. Are you going to start killing the demon possessed? Are you going to start shooting the police? That is not what the early Christian did. That is not the way they want the world. I don't care about it. I don't have weapons. In our house here, okay, we have dogs. Nice, big dogs. That's all you need. They keep the thieves away. They already came, the thieves, to check. The dogs were barking at them. They left. Dogs, I don't want to kill a thief. I want to convert the thief.
Yes, amen.
Okay, then what happens if you kill a thief? Then his friend will come after a week and shoot you in the back. So what did you do? Mm-hmm. You left your family and your children,
yes.
Widow spouse, orphan children. You understand?
Yes.
Can you read that?
2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. 5.
Okay, no, that's enough. Ephesians okay. Chapter 6. And you see, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. There are no examples in the Bible, the Christian, the apostle, getting weapons to kill people.
Yeah.
Jesus said, okay, you can buy a sword, but that was more for defense. They never used it.
Mm-hmm.
When Peter used it, Jesus rebuked him.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things, what about America? They're going to take the weapons away. Your defense is not going to be killing the police. The defense is going to be take off, move, get out. There'll be very few will do that anyway, because most Christians are sleeping in the church, listening to most churches where there are false prophets. Most churches. Look, Ephesians 6:12 and 13.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That was 12.
13.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Okay, so we don't fight against flesh and blood. You're trying
Amen.
To kill people here.
Yes.
Well, then you might as well go join the Muslims. They believe in that. Okay, or the Jews, the carnal Jews, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They don't believe in that. Jesus has come. I know there are a lot of false prophets in America, especially in the Christian preachers, who say, oh, we should send our soldier and fight in Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine. These guys are out of their mind. Out of their mind.
They should pray for peace.
I mean, there are TV channels in America. They think the president should be tougher against Putin, against Russia, against saying do something drastic in Ukraine. Are you out of your mind? It was a Christian Baptist, a Baptist president, Baptist Truman, who dropped the two atomic bombs on Japan. Thank you, my dear Christian. Today, some Christianity is worse than Islam. Worse than Hindus. Worse. Because at least they don't know the truth. We do. Understand?
Yes, we're more guilty. Amen. I would like to go to the next question, but after one song, if it's okay.
Okay.
Then I would like to read you the email of a sister who wants to leave the States. She lives in the south of the United States.
Yeah.
And she wants to relocate, and she's asking you your counsel.
What she said?
I will tell you after the break.
blessing as an offering, Lord. What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give to you, to you? What can I get? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give?
We are back at Radio Blast. The next question that we will answer comes from the south of United States. A dear sister, she opened her heart so sweetly to us and she said that she would like to relocate. She said she and her family are Christians and she said, I have been feeling led to get out of America, but I don't have yet the means and money to go nowhere. But I know that this is no problem with God. And right now I am seeking Him as where to go. And your website said to write if you need help to relocate. So, I do want to move to South America, but I have no idea where to go. Where is it safe to live? And where is it inexpensive to live? Is it easy to find work out there? Is it expensive to move? Is the cost of living high? Where can I go on the net to look at some great places to live? If you can answer any of those questions, it will be a great help to me. You have no idea how overjoyed I was to hear back from someone. Thank you so very much for writing me back. It means a lot to me. Please continue to pray for me and my family that I will hear the Lord's voice as where to go. May the Lord bless you.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your blessing. We surely need it. Okay, well, you don't have money, but money is not a problem for the Lord. I remember when I didn't have money, the Lord provided miraculously. So dear sister, God will supply the money. Just pray. If the Lord has showed you to get out of the USA, you will. Just keep believing. Don't believe the devil. Pray against financial curses. Alright, look at Philippians 4:19. Why didn't you give it the scripture? It's a scripture for you, beloved sister.
Philippians,
and God bless
4.
Your four children. My heart really goes with you, a mother with four children. We will try to help you all we can.
Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
All right, so the Bible is not a lie, it's true. There was many times when you didn't have money, God provided, God did something. Do your part.
It's true.
Do your part, and then start asking everybody around to help. And especially if you say that you go for Jesus, you go do a mission, you go helping others, people will help you.
Amen.
A guy will pay you a plane ticket, another guy this, another guy. Just don't be afraid to ask right and left until you have everything you need.
Thank you.
And God will supply. In case it's not God's will for you to leave, okay, then he will supply a safe place there in the U.S., all right? So maybe team up with some other brethren. And so either God will supply the money or will help you find somebody to move out if you're in a big city. You should never be in a big city. Okay, and if you're in a big city, you should definitely have a retreat prepared, a place where to just, at a moment's notice, just get out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord always give you notice.
Mm-hmm.
People get stuck in places because they don't follow the signs of the times.
Yeah.
They don't look around and see the horizon, black clouds approaching. As far as South America, well, we work in the area Argentina, Chile, for example, and we'd be glad to help you, direct you. We were in other places too. We were working also in Peru. Like Peru, for example, the people there are pretty dark, and I don't know if you're white. Now, the problem is that the white stick out a lot, and there is a lot of crime over there. Okay, so we love the Peruvian, they're very sheepy, very sweet.
Yes.
But the crime is asphyxiating. You really can't do much.
Hmm.
I mean, sometimes we were paralyzed in the house. We couldn't get out. It could be thieves were coming and trying to get money from all the people in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we got so tired. It was really hindering our ministry. We just left. Now, there are, for example, Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, people are white.
Yes.
Argentina, Uruguay, they're just white, like exactly like Europe or America. In Chile, they're almost the same. They're pretty whitish.
Yeah.
You don't stick out
as
much. In Argentina and Chile, they stick out. In Argentina and Uruguay, don't stick out at all. In Chile, very, very little. People don't hardly notice you.
So as far as safe places to live in South America,
these three places
you're suggesting.
For the white.
Uruguay, Argentina, and Chile.
Yeah, the dark, they don't stick out, but there is still problem and crime.
Yeah.
But it's easier for them to hide.
Yes, yes.
They don't stick out. But like a white person walks around in Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Colombia, Venezuela, is dangerous.
Now, the next question, is the cost of living high?
No, it's not very high, no. No, it's probably half or less than half than the West.
And can one get work?
Well, you can find a job pretty easily in some of these places, yeah. If you're willing to do whatever, like sell fruit and veg, you work in a restaurant or whatever. Like, don't go with the idea, I want to be working in an office, blah, blah. Just, you have to take whatever.
Yeah, so you find jobs easily.
Yeah, you find jobs pretty easily. And some of these places, plenty of jobs. They don't have the crisis here that they have in the West. Argentina, yes, they have some crisis. But if you really look for a job, you find. The other two countries they're doing better off.
Financially, economically.
Better off, yeah.
Is it expensive to move?
No, it's not very expensive. You can go online and check the cheapest flight. Okay, there are pretty cheap flights
if you book it a few months in advance, you find cheap ones.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, there are offers. I remember, you know better than me, no? In Europe, you and Dora worked.
It was Deborah who worked.
Yes. It was my wife, right?
Yes.
Anyway, no, if you investigate, you go online, there are very cheap flights. If you don't know what you're doing, I suggest you find a friend in a travel agency who will help you.
Mm-hmm. Direct then, you know, you.
But as far as paying, it's like you book the tickets and then... They take the money only when the ticket is booked.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as booking many months in advance, that depends. Again, go to a travel agency until you find a very sweet person who's willing to help you.
Okay.
And they can book for you, do this and that for you. But don't find some people who just wants your money, understand? Just find somebody sweet, somebody you can witness to. We found that the key is to find somebody who's receptive to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you find somebody who's opened their heart to Jesus, then he will help you also. Everybody else is just after your money. So that's our counsel for that.
Amen.
Then, of course, she has four children. She doesn't specify the age of the children. Like the children are 16 years old, they can go to work.
Yes, they can help.
And they want to study, they can study on the side.
Yes.
But the 16-year-old, here children go to work. 15, 16, they go to work. Because a mother with four children... It's like four children cannot expect a mother to be a slave, go around scrubbing floors, and they have to become a top university. It's not like that. They have to go to work. I went to work in my father's field when I was, I think I was 9 years old. I started to work. Okay, and it was wonderful.
Thank you a lot.
It kept me out of drugs, kept me out of pornography, kept me out of crime. I was busy working. There's no time for crime. I had to work. So work is a blessing.
True. I also got my first job at 16.
Mm-hmm. I started working 9 years old.
Wow.
The first was delivering milk. And when I got fired.
You got fired?
Yeah, I got fired.
What did you do?
No, I felt sick. I got a flu.
Ah, you felt sick.
I felt sick, and the guy said, that's it.
Oh.
And so then I found a job in a carpenter job. I mean, they appointed me the director immediately.
How?
I was 9 years old.
How did they appoint you?
I was the director. They realized my level.
Mm.
they put me in charge of sweeping and cleaning and picking up garbage. And I tell you, they saw the talent immediately. Really.
They actually called you director?
Sometimes make fun of me. The doctor used to call me.
The doctor.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I would like to go to the next question.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
Dear sister, I hope we answered some of your questions. If you have any more, please write in. We would be happy to help you in any ways we can.
Yeah, we also have a whole series of counsel on our radio and also internet, YouTube, how to get out of the NWO areas, all team up with other Christians, etc. So study these messages.
That's good.
And, Let us know what your children's age are. We can counsel you. Because if your children are very small, we can give a certain counsel. If your children can work, we give another counsel.
That's good.
If your children are, if you're in unity with your children, that they're not in rebellion, like many of them are in the West, we can give you a counsel. If they are in rebellion, we give you a different counsel. Mm-hmm. You understand?
That's good.
So let us know if your children are an age. If there are some of them above 16, then that's easy. They can help. But you cannot make it just by yourself, pay the rent, go to work, look after them. You understand?
All right.
Plus, they can study in the house. They can also do homeschool,
it's
which
true.
Is the here in South America is no problem. Do
it's
homeschool
true.
And nobody really cares. It's not like oppressive, asphyxiating, antichrist Europe. And the South Americans is just about the same or worse. Amen?
Amen. The next message we received is from a brother from Canada.
From Canada, from the igloo area.
I don't know if he lives in an igloo.
It's a cold area. Though. So people there, they eat ice cream to warm up, I understand.
Oh, they do? I just found your site, and the Lord is speaking to me about all these topics.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
And I don't know where to start, so I will ask to be a part of your ministry.
Oh, wow, you're welcome. We need the work is a lot, the laborers are few. You're
yes.
welcome. Please join in.
I live in Ottawa in Canada, and I am Aboriginal,
oh, bless you.
Hungarian, and Jewish.
And Jewish. Fine.
Yeshua spoke to me over the years about how he wants to be in native communities in the north part of Canada and how these communities would be set up apart from the NWO. I want to know how, and I hope I'm not too late. I thank you as you have been an answer to my prayer. Shalom. So this dear brother is hoping to receive some counsel about the communities in the north of Canada that the Lord showed him. There will be some.
Well, it doesn't specify what kind of counsel he wants. We have all kinds of counsel. It depends. Does he want to start a church in the house? Does he want to start a community like we do? We share our money. Does he want to do something to meet the brethren weekly or every day? Or like sleeping in the same building like the early church and sharing the food? Like we do all these things, okay? We are a community. We operate like a little family here with children and everything. We all help each other. The children do schooling, but the children also do a lot of activities. Right now we have two brothers, a brother and a sister, and three of my children. They are out visiting the people where there was a big fire. Because
yeah.
right now we're in Chile, and there were 2,000 houses burned up, as you heard on the news. And there are people, refugees, living here and there. And we send a team of five. Yesterday, you, Angela, went to do food collections
yes.
in a big supermarket. With the big signs, a collection of food for the fire.
For the victims.
Refugees, for the victims. And people gave yesterday a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
This morning we drove to the bus station and we convinced the driver to take it there, which is about some 250 kilometers from here. And they said that they arrive and they're doing a program there for the people living in these refugee places.
Amen.
So that's what we are doing, okay? So in other words, we live together. That enables us to save a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, we save 80%. Our cost of living is about 80% less than, or maybe 90% less, depends, than what it would be if we would be living separate. Everyone with his little apartment, his little car, his little... Here we share everything, okay?
Amen.
So it's so much... So our life is 100 times easier than if somebody lived apart, separated. Of course, to do this, you have to become like a little family, father, mother, and children. Okay, we are a mission, we are a community, and we are a church. So tell us what you want to do.
And I want to mention this, is that he's talking about native communities being set apart from the New World Order. So it sounds like refugees, away from the New World Order areas, refugees, communities of Christians living together. And how are they supposed to be organized?
Yeah, this is exactly what we're doing. We moved out of Europe because we expect Europe to be into the Mark of the Beast, probably the microchip, very, very soon. That's what we're doing here. We are right now living outside of the New World Order area, and it's working perfectly. It also enables us to evangelize. So he needs to tell us what he wants to do, and we do, so we can send a very specific counsel.
Okay, amen.
Okay, we want to know exactly what you want to do. You see, if you pray to God a vague, generic prayer, you receive a vague answer. But if you send to God a specific prayer, God, I want to be healed, this cancer, this knee, I want to every financial curses to be broken. I want to evangelize and get salvation. So God will answer you specifically. Amen?
Yes. All right, we're going to the next question.
Okay, so I will be waiting for you, brother.
Yes.
And yes, we receive you lovingly with all our heart in our community. You're welcome. Whether you come over here and physical, whether you stay wherever you are, our fellowship is kind of international, okay? We have an international to the radio, internet, and you can be part of our church wherever you are.
Amen.
Where you are, wherever you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
So there is another brother, the last email that we're going to bring up today, and then we'll continue tomorrow, okay?
All right.
He's
so
saying,
we can go have a good spaghetti after this. Praise God.
Brother Joseph is Italian. So the last email says, there is an awakening in this country in regards to the prophecies. Can you please provide me more information about how your mission helps people to get out? Who are you and what church are you? Please tell me more about your group. Please help. Your brother in Christ.
Okay, listen, I already explained in the previous answer, I think. It's pretty much there who we are, what we believe. We are brethren who are messianic, who are Jews. I'm a born-again Christian. But I'm not like a mainstream, like a church building.
You said we have brethren who are messianic.
We have brethren, yeah.
But we have brethren in every religion possible.
Well, anybody who believes in Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, we have Jewish brethren who believe in the Messiah, okay, and to an extent as much as we believe. We call them brethren, mm-hmm. even though they're not born again yet, but they are on the way.
Yes.
Okay? God calls things that which are not as if they were. Mm-hmm. So basically,
so what church are we, Brother Joseph?
We just don't have a denomination, as you well know. Thank you for asking. We are the Church of the Bible, of the Gospel, of the Body of Jesus. We really don't have a name. It's just like the early Christians, you know. To be a Christian is more than enough. The early Christians, what denomination were they? Somebody asked me sometimes if I belong to such and such denominations. And I said no. And so he said, what denominations are you? I said, if you tell me what denomination Jesus was, I'll tell you which is mine. The guy smiled and he had nothing else to say. Hmm. Jesus doesn't have a denomination.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus is God. I mean, would you say God is a Jew? The flesh of Jesus, yes, but the flesh died. Jesus is God, Jehovah. Jehovah was there, Jesus was there, the Word of God was there before Israel and Jacob, Israel and Isaac and Abraham were even born.
So we are simple Christians with no religion?
Well, it depends what you intend for religion. If you intend religion in the Bible, like James says, visiting the orphans and the widows, we do visit those, but that's the only definition of religiosity in the Bible. The rest were the Pharisees. No, we don't want to be religious because today religion is kind of a bad connotation. Religious are the ones who did the Crusades, Inquisition, the religious people, those who supported the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, the Christians in America supporting the wars, mm-hmm. and the evangelicals in Germany supporting the Nazi. And so it's like religion today is a bad connotation. I prefer to be a Christian, free Christian, loving Christian. We love Christ.
Yes, me, I know this thing because I know you for 12 years now with your wife and children. But for the sake of our listeners, I want to ask you, have you been working with different religions?
Oh, we work with all kinds of Christians, good and bad. We work with individual organization, big or small. Some were very good, some were very bad. I prefer not to point the finger, not to speak too good or too bad of anyone. The Lord didn't send me as a judge. But the day came when the Lord told me to just be based on the Bible, just on the Gospel, just preach the Gospel. And if it's not in the Bible, I don't need to believe it. Hmm. There are religions today, Amen. Big religion, that most of the doctrines don't have any biblical foundations. So we still go to their churches. We still go to them and preach the Gospel. All right, so we go and do all kinds of projects to evangelize them. We try to speak their language. I'm mm-hmm. not saying making compromises, no. But as long as they allow us to just be Christian only and love the Lord only, we do business with anyone. I'll go anywhere.
Amen.
I will go to an Hindu temple. I will go to an Islamic mosque. I'll go anywhere. They will allow me to go there and preach Jesus Christ. Of course, you have to. If you go to a mosque, the girls have to wear a scarf, wear the same like they do some Christian churches anyway. And I go. We will go as long as they let me preach Jesus.
I believe you, because I've been evangelizing with you even in discotheques, which I thought it's impossible to go evangelize in a discotheque where people drink, take drugs, they are in they do bad things there. But the Lord actually opened the doors, and we went from discotheque to discotheque evangelizing with the excuse of presenting a musical theater, musical acting. And it was great, because we could evangelize and pray with those young people who were there under shock. They couldn't believe Jesus is there on the stage in front of them, but many of them at the end came crying and said, I needed this message, I needed it.
So the way we help people basically to get out of the West is little material, if we can, if we're in the area, like just we do with any brother, but it's like most we can help spiritually, because we've been through a lot of situations, we can counsel. Because a lot of time you may be wasting 5 years in the wrong project, then you realize what's wrong. We can help you avoid wasting time working the wrong project, the wrong direction, the wrong strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We teach people to evangelize, to do personal evangelization, get people saved, evangelize your family, how you can start a church in your house. Church, in other words, a family unit. I'm not talking about Sunday morning with the church bench, of course not. It's like, so we teach people they can turn the house into a little church, to evangelize others, to work together. When you eat together, read the word. If people want to live together like in a Christian community, like the early church, then we teach them how to do that.
So basically you're saying we're giving spiritual and practical counsel for the brethren who wants to prepare for the end time. But for those who want to actually leave their country, how can we help them?
Well, we can tell them what country to go, what country not to go, in the overall, more or less. We don't have a very specific information, but we can give you an idea. Avoid a Muslim country, and like avoid country where there's crime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like Brazil, Venezuela, Peru, is a lot of crime. If you go to the east, if you want to go to the east, well, don't go to Australia, that's the same like the west. There are certain places to go, certain places not to go. We can tell them, give some counsel. In Africa, for example, there's a lot of crime in South Africa. Nevertheless, they speak English there, in Pretoria, the capital. We have some friends, they're missionaries, and it's pretty safe because there are the embassies. Okay, but don't go to places like Nigeria, Sudan, Mali. Those places are very, very dangerous.
Now, I want to say on our radio site, we actually have some messages, audio, that give a breakdown of the whole world, all the countries, more or less, like the general idea, the countries and which are safe and which are not safe from the point of view of the end time. Where is it safe to go and what is it not? So you can follow there. Please open the radio page and follow these messages. And if you have any questions, you can write in. We will not repeat everything now because we wouldn't be able time-wise.
Yeah.
But please send in any questions you may have.
Yeah, we are recording some of hours about what places to go, what places not to go.
But I want to ask you straight, because I know some people are thinking in their mind. Can you, Brother Joseph, if I come to your area, for example, to find there an end-time refuge, can you take me into your house and give me a place to sleep and give me food? Because it's a survival situation.
Well, listen,
or can you help me financially? Because I don't have money for the tickets.
Listen, if you come in this area, we will help you as any brother, like with food, the things like this, we can help you what we can. But we wouldn't be able to give you like a money every month, so a house to sleep. We simply live by the tithe that people send to us. And God bless them, because they make it possible for us to do everything for free.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do, 100%, no exception, is for free. Our teaching about healing, administering healing to the sick, or helping you find a house, or counsel about catching a plane, place to go, where not to go. All our material, we don't sell DVD or books, we don't care. All our messages are for free, internet.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be.
Yes.
And we don't understand people who don't.
Yes, amen.
So we can help all we can, but we have limits. It's like our like our money is limited. Like every month we receive a few tithes from some people and immediately get spent on the gospel work. It's just more or less enough for us. Okay, in fact, right now we need a camper to go, because we need a mobile church. We need to put a radio in a camper,
yes,
for security to move around. So the Antichrist, New World Order coming, we need to move around. And we need the money for that. So we're praying for some brethren to give us a hand to help with this expense. But nobody has to, just have somebody or speaks to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come over here, yeah, we can give you donations of food according to how the Lord provides. But just like a Christian love, like you always help a brother. But we cannot promise money or like everyday support.
Yeah,
like you have to be able to carry your weight, you know. Like if you're a missionary where you are, then you can be a missionary here. But it's not a coming over here, taking a plane that is going to make you a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
Buying a ticket doesn't make you a missionary.
Yeah, right.
Don't have false hopes. So whatever you do in there, you will do here. There you have a job, here you need a job. If there you live by faith like we do, here you can live by faith like we do, understand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So don't think that crossing the ocean or crossing the border of the nations is going to make you become instant missionary. You're going to arrive exactly the same way you live, with the same amount of faith.
I see.
Okay, so we can help you with counsel, what kind of house to rent, what not to rent, area to go, area not to go, where the crime is, where there is no crime. Okay, in these three countries I told you, Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, there's not much crime. It's pretty safe for the Westerners.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself kind of the way you're used to. You're not going to be a fish out of water. Whereas if you go to a place like Peru, Bolivia, yes, you'd be like a fish out of water. Then there you would have to learn how to swim. And if you're whitish, it suggests you don't go to an area where the people are brownish and there is a lot of crime, because they have this idea that the gringos are rich.
Yes, I
okay,
do.
Which in our case is not the case. But okay.
I want to say what really helped us, like some 2 years ago, we moved out of Europe, we came to South America, and first place we went was Peru. And what really helped us is we knew nobody there. We didn't have anybody waiting for
us.
We
went to a hotel.
Yeah. We didn't know the language. We didn't have anybody waiting for us.
Except for me.
You knew some Spanish,
I knew,
yes.
Because I've been here before in South America.
You do some Spanish.
In a mission.
Yes. So we arrived there and we didn't have anything prepared.
Yeah.
But what helped a lot is that we brought some money with us, because in Europe before we sold everything. What we couldn't sell, we gave to the orphanages. But we had some money prepared for the first few months,
mm-hmm,
to start our life,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
Peru. Because we had to learn the language, we had to get going with the mission,
yeah,
which took a few months, seriously. So this could be very important, to prepare yourself, the finances, for the first few months to start your new life.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. It's good you point that out. You can rent a cheap place. Please, you,
yes,
can rent a cheap place, you know, if you don't have a high expectation. Depends how much money you have. It's like either you need to have a lot of faith or some money.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
cannot do it without one and the other.
Yes.
But there are some pretty cheap places you can rent. We suggest you don't buy anything, because if you, for whatever reason, a problem arises in the area, you need to move. When you bought a house, that's your tomb. You get stuck there, mm-hmm, and your money is gone.
It's true. So then the main help we can offer to the brethren who want to leave the West and the New World Order areas
counsel.
Is mainly spiritual counsel,
right,
and also practical tips how to move,
yeah,
because we learned a lot from our own moving and also from mistakes we made.
Right.
We can share with you to avoid the mistakes we did. Like sometimes our bags got stolen or we lost things. And
yeah, if we're in the same area, we can offer fellowship.
All right, yeah. We can offer fellowship. We can meet. We can talk. And
pray together.
You offered that
they can
we
be part of a church.
And you said we can help with food.
Yeah, whenever we can. When we can, but it's not like forever. It's like, you know.
All right. Like, it's not that we can help you with, like Brother Joseph said, to support you financially or give you a house to sleep. This is not in our possibilities.
Or food every day.
So in what sense you can help with food then?
No, it's like, you know, sometimes we eat together,
mm-hmm,
and like nobody's going to ask you to pay the bill or something. Like, you know, sometimes like in any church, you eat together. Or sometimes a brother is in need. Okay, and then you give a pack of food, but this is not something every day.
All right, so it's not breakfast, lunch, and dinner guaranteed?
No, we are not able.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course not. The people have to come here, they will have to walk on their own faith.
I see.
Okay.
All right. So whatever it's in our possibility, we love to do it to help you understand that we are missionaries living by faith. But the Lord, when you step out by faith, the Lord always intervenes and he always helps. So just go by faith and obey whatever God shows you. Make sure you're in His will, you hear His voice, and then obey it.
Amen.
Amen. We close here, Brother Joseph?
Okay. Should there be any more questions? Yes.
Well, dear brethren, if you do have any more questions, write them in.
Amen.
And we hear you again tomorrow, Sunday, for the same live broadcasting at 8 o'clock Central American Time. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Amen.